We'd like to take a moment to thank you for listening to the Block Church podcast. We pray that these messages encourage you, inspire you, or make a difference in your life.
A few years ago, I found myself living in Europe, traveling, doing missions work, and it was really a special time in my life. But I found myself there over the fall, and it was during Thanksgiving season. Now, I want to be clear, Easter is the greatest holiday because of what we celebrate, but the second greatest holiday has to be Thanksgiving. We're guaranteed 4 days off, food, football, leftovers. But this particular Thanksgiving, I was in Europe, and while my trip was incredible, it wasn't the same as being at home with family and with friends. It was just weird. I spent that Thanksgiving in a McDonald's cafe, eating two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun and a latte. It was weird. They didn't have turkeys for me to eat. But it kind of made me think about really that first Easter season. I mean, it was eerie. It was weird. In fact, Easter is kind of a spooky holiday if you think about it. Like it's weirder than Halloween almost. Think about this. A guy dies, then we chill out for a day, and then he comes back to life. Like no bones, like the whole thing. It's unique. It's eerie, it's weird, and I anticipate for many of you, for all of us, most of us, this is the weirdest Easter we've ever experienced in our lifetime. It's eerie. There's probably less of the feast and the celebrations and the gatherings, but you know what it does? It really puts us in the same position as the early church, as the early disciples, as those who are wondering what was going to happen next. And I just want to walk you through that first Easter briefly and as to what happened. Remember, it starts with that Last Supper, where Jesus is gathered with his disciples for their final moment. And he's going around the table and they're eating bread and wine where we get our communion experience, but they're not eating the lamb because, in fact, he was the lamb that would later be slain for our sin just a few hours later. But as he's there, he begins to wash his disciples' feet in this beautiful, unbelievable act of service. And as he does, Peter, one of his leading disciples, is like, "Lord, you cannot do this." And Jesus is like, "Look, if I don't do this, you can't have any part of me." And then Peter responds. He says, "Lord, well then, don't just wash my feet. Wash my hands, wash my head, wash my whole body. I want all of you." Shortly thereafter, Jesus then says, "Okay, but in a few hours, you're going to deny me, and all the stuff that we did together, you're going to forget about it for a moment." And then, of course, Jesus takes the disciples to the garden and they go pray. And the same guy who says, "Lord, wash all of me," they can't even stay awake for an hour. And Jesus, and they come, and as he's in the garden, knowing that his hour is coming, but right before he's crucified, he's sweating blood. And as he's sweating blood, he says, "Father, if this cup can pass, please." But he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." Shortly thereafter, they come and they arrest him and they take him. And he goes and he stands before trial. And in the most act of injustice in humanity, Jesus is then sentenced to death. And so, as I'm sure you've seen many a times in many depictions of movies or what you've read or plays at church or whatever it is, Jesus goes through an absolutely gruesome, unbelievable death. And I just want to, for a moment, remind you of the moment in Matthew chapter 27. The Bible says in verse 45, "At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice and he said, 'My God, why have you abandoned me?'" In other words, in that moment, all of our sin, past, present, and future, on Jesus at the moment, God looking away. Jesus takes it on himself, and then he releases his spirit. And in verse 51, the Bible says that at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary, the temple, it was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, the tombs opened. Now, you have to understand how magnificent and how important this moment is. Yes, because Jesus died as the pure and spotless Lamb, as a sacrifice for all humanity, the only substitute for our sin, our shame, our guilt, our wrong. But even more wonderful than that, what was beyond the fact that we were accepted and saved, and he was who he said he was, even more beautiful was the fact that the curtain ripped, meaning that you and I wouldn't just go through routine or religion or structure. You and I wouldn't just have some holiday that was every year that meant little. It was that the curtain tore so you and I could go into the Holy of Holies. You and I could have relationship with this God that we read about. Why I like, in a sense, that our holiday, that our Easter is so disrupted is because it reminds me of the curtain being torn, that I don't need some form of social gathering or some holiday to remember how thankful I am that he died for me and that my sin was paid for and that I could have relationship with him one-on-one. The veil was torn. But even more fascinating, and what I want to focus on to bring us up to speed in this Easter moment, is Jesus died. And you know how you have an event or a moment or Christmas morning, but then there is the big down. It all ends. The event, the momentum, it all ceases. Well, I think that same thing happened for the disciples, right? I mean, and the people of God that were following Jesus. I mean, think about it. They're eating the meal. He's getting arrested. They don't have time to think about anything else. The emotions, the energy, the intensity of the moment. But then came what I like to call Silent Saturday. We see Good Friday as the moment he dies on the cross for our sin, but then there's Silent Saturday. It's the day in between the death and what we believe is the resurrection on Sunday. This is the moment, I believe, in history you and I are in, that we're facing. It's Silent Saturday. Think about the disciples and the people of God. They were probably scared for their life. Are we going to be arrested like Jesus? Are they going to throw us out? Are they going to crucify us as well? Is everything that we saw him do, was it fake? Was it phony? Was all this good an illusion? Did I really see people get healed? Is he who he says he is? Am I really safe? Did he really save me? I just keep thinking about that like right now in this moment. So many people, and maybe you're not even a follower of Christ. Maybe Easter is foreign to you, but because church is online everywhere, you've noticed it. And maybe you're going, is there really a God? How could there be this much death or pain or sorrow? When is this going to end? And I just think as a world, we live in this Silent Saturday. But can I tell you something? That silence, the deafening silence, does not mean that God isn't there. And the deafening silence is not foreign to God. And in fact, did you know that in between the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and in between the New Testament, Matthew, there's 400 years of silence where God does not speak to his people. Can you imagine? I can't imagine living a day without hearing and being reminded of the loving, gentle, peaceful voice of God. I'm again thankful that the veil tore so that I could have relationship and communicate with God every single day. But think about 400 years of silence, 400 years of a Saturday that didn't move on. Silent Saturday. So many things happened during that Silent Saturday. Actually, so many things needed to happen even without God's voice that led us up to the moment of Jesus. But I just kept thinking that the people living in the 400 years gap were probably saying to themselves, this would be the right time for Christ to come. Like, when is he going to come? When is he going to redeem us? When is he going to save us? I don't know if you've asked that question, particularly regarding what we're facing as a world. when is this going to end? When is it going to stop? And we think it should stop today. But I want to remind you that God's timing is not our timing. And God shows up when he needs to show up, where it will make the most sense for his divine and beautiful plan. The silent Saturday that we sit in is not foreign to God. But let me remind you that a silent Saturday ends. And in Galatians 4, the Bible says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. The Bible says at the right time, Jesus shows up. See, total silence led us to a brand new sound, a unique voice. It led us to Jesus. And what I'm telling you is that the silence that you and I are facing in the world right now, it's leading to something better than we used to be in. It's leading to something more hopeful and more beautiful. And I want to fast forward us to the resurrection moment because I know we're believing and hoping and here to celebrate the resurrection, but do not dismiss the beauty of the silence. But Sunday morning, Matthew 28, verse 1, the Bible says that early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly, I love that word suddenly, because there is no such thing as suddenly. It's just suddenly to us. God hadn't been planning the redemption of his people. And God had been planning to fulfill his word because he is who he says he is, that he would always do it. But to us, it's suddenly. And suddenly there was a great earthquake again, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and he sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. The guards shook with fear as they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. And the angel spoke to the woman. He said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he isn't here. He is risen from the dead, ready just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying." Now I want to close my time, and I want to direct your attention to the idea that God is always on time. See, the resurrection is the ultimate moment. It's the ultimate Jesus doing what he said he would do. And if you're a skeptic today, please understand that according to many historical accounts beyond the Bible, there were 500 documented witnesses of the testifying nature of Jesus being resurrected. The stone weighed over 2 tons, which Jesus was historically documented to be there, and then the stone was moved. And it wasn't by his disciples, and it wasn't by those who were paid to watch the gate. It was miraculous. The Old Testament foretold of his coming 500 plus years before he was even alive. This wasn't, friends, it wasn't a spiritual resurrection alone. It was a medical resurrection. That an actual man died, but he also lived. It was eerie. It was weird. It was unique. The earliest witnesses of the resurrection were, in fact, women. And in the Bible times, for the Bible to point out that a woman saw him first would discredit them. But the fact that God did it proved that he was who he says he was. And the point that I'm making is you can be assured today that the silence of Saturday will end. And resurrection will come at just the right time. He is who he says he is. I just keep thinking about how we have all this time on our hands, and every day we plan to take a walk around the neighborhood with my wife and my son. And we set a time, and every day we seem to be late to the time that we're supposed to go. And it makes me laugh now, but in the moment I get frustrated, and I just think, we have all this time. How come we can't get there on time? How come we can't leave the house? But there are factors happening that we don't fully understand. And I believe there are factors happening in the world that we don't fully understand. That God might be leading us to something even greater. And it reminds me of Romans 5, where it says, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, and many of you feel that way, Christ died for the ungodly. That at just the right time. What I'm telling you today is God is always on time. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're afraid of, the God that I know, the veil that was torn in two, he's always on time. And even though Saturday feels like it just takes forever and it's never gonna end and it's silent and it's deafening and we're never gonna get through it, we are. Sunday is coming, the resurrection is on its way. And I just think about the scriptures and how God at just the right time stopped Abraham from slaying his son because he had a plan. And at just the right time, the rain fell for Noah, and at just the right time, God showed up for Moses to bring the people home. And at just the right time, fire fell from heaven for Elijah. And just the right time, he rescued Israel through Joseph and rescued him. At just the right time, Jesus came into the world. At just the right time, Joseph and Mary heard the voice and snuck away. At just the right time, Jesus snuck to the temple and started teaching. At just the right time, he called the disciples and brought fish out of the water. At just the right time, he fed thousands. At just the right time, he raised a little girl from the dead. At just the right time, a woman who had an issue with blood for many years was healed. At just the right time, he raised Lazarus from the dead. At just the right time, he died on the cross. At just the right time, he hung for the thief on the tree. And friends, at just the right time, he was raised from the dead for you and me. And the point I'm making here today is it's just the right time for you. If you don't know God, if you're far from him, I know the redemption of humanity and the end to our struggle, the end to our collective silent Saturday will end and we'll be resurrected as a species and as a humanity, but the right time for your soul is right now. Like if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, maybe it was an Easter Christmas thing. Maybe it was you came and you did the food and you went to church and you kneeled and you turned and you took communion. But that's all it was. It was rules. It was religion. It was structure. That's not why Jesus died, and it's certainly not why he went and took death and hell and stood on the neck of the enemy. He didn't do that so that you would just see him from a distance. He did it so that you could walk into his gates and experience a relationship with him. And if you're far from God today, now is your moment. Maybe you've never invited Jesus into your life. You've never made him Lord. You've never made him leader. This is your moment. This Easter, this moment, God wants to resurrect your soul from the dead. If you're far from God, if you never invited him, God's speaking to you. And you're saying, I need to get right with God. I need to begin a relationship with Jesus. I'm gonna say a prayer in a moment. And I want you to acknowledge that if you're watching or if you're on Facebook or if you're on our church platform, just acknowledge it. Say, that's me, or click a button. Whatever you gotta do, make this moment in history count. I wanna pray a prayer. Would you pray it with me? Would you say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Would you raise my soul to life today? I need you. I'm calling on you. Forgive my sin. Be the Lord and be the leader of my life. I believe you are who you say you are. And today, save me. I'm yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to check out our podcast channel and subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you like what you're hearing, we'd love for you to rate, review, and share with your friends. We love you. Thanks again for listening.